in Seattle, Seattle. And you need to buy yourself a home. We'll be right there for you, because we're the realtors that you can trust. So go to RodandConsidDow.com.
Don't go anywhere unless you want to. It's the Ron and Don Show, starring Ron and Don, and sometimes me, at RonandDon.com.
Hey, you guys, what's going on? And welcome to episode 690 now of the Ron and Don Show. Almost 700 episodes. And we are live in the Les Schwab Studios.
What is up, Ron and Don Nation?
Hey, coming up on the Ron and Don Show, I've often wondered about this, because all my Airbnbs, it seems like I'm buying more supplies all the time, especially laundry detergent. I can't believe how much laundry detergent people go through. Well, guess what? We're all using way too much laundry detergent.
That's a fascinating story.
And there's some science about this. And also, there's only one cycle that you need to use when you're washing your clothes, and this is about to set you free. We'll talk about that in a moment. Also, optimism. You want to live longer? Yeah. Are you an optimistic person? Maybe you'll live longer than the rest of us. Some science behind that as well, and I'll tell you why. Before we get to that, though, let's get to this. Peter Thiel, Ron, offering $100,000 not to go to college. Who is Peter Thiel, and why is he offering $100,000?
So Peter Thiel is a very interesting guy. He was part of the PayPal mafia back in the day, is what they call it, a group of founders that all made a tremendous amount of money. He was pals with Elon Musk and has gone on to be, he's a billionaire. Politically, I disagree with just about everything Peter Thiel does. He's very big advocate of politics that I don't really subscribe to. But what he did do, which I think is really interesting, is a few years ago, he started this, what do you call it, a foundation, I guess, where he said, he called out to people that said, I will pay you $100,000 to not go to college. And so he was targeting a very specific type of student, though. So, for instance, one of they called them fellows. So a man or a woman would get nominated. They could then become a fellow in this Peter Thiel deal. So, like, one of the early ones was the young man that invented Ethereum, which is a cryptocurrency, and he's basically a math genius. He's now a billion. He's probably worth more than Peter Thiel is now, because Ethereum, you know, did all this stuff on the blockchain, and it's traded on all the crypto markets around the world every day. And so the kid was European, and he is now a multi-billionaire, I believe. And so guys, people like that. So he basically said, "What, this kid doesn't need college. He doesn't need bona fides from MIT. He's already doing the work. So I'm just going to pay him $100,000 instead of going to college and go build a company or build a nonprofit. That's what you have to do." And so he got a lot of backlash. So they're like, "Oh, okay, dude, you got a degree from Stanford. Who are you to say don't go to college?" And so Peter Thiel's a contrarian. And he was like, "Okay, I'm going to do this for a couple of years." Now it's years later, and it seems like the world is coming his way of saying, you know, when you look at the backlash on all the Ivy League universities, the anti-Semitism thing, and you had some presidents had to resign of different universities. There's some free speech stuff that happens. It's a little bit weird in academia. And so people are now going, well, maybe he's onto something here. Maybe the era of the prestigious college has come and gone. And so I wanted to get your thought, because not everybody is smart enough to make your own Ethereum blockchain currency, or, you know, it can come right out of high school and have an incredible idea like that. Do you think that paying, because your son's rapidly approaching graduation, would you say, "Hey, here's $100,000, don't go to college, start a company at 18.
Well, let me ask you this. How do you see college? What do you think college is for in the first place? Because I think when people say college, what does that mean to you?
To me, it means, and I'm watching some good friends' kids go to college. To me, it means the experience of untethering from your parents. I think that's the biggest value of college, unless unless you're doing a very specific track. And we had a story maybe a month ago here on the Ronadon podcast that talked about, I think it's something like 20% of people actually use their degrees. So most of the time people get a degree and do not go into that field, the vast majority of the time. So unless you're like becoming a dentist or you're becoming a very specific job track, a doctor, let's say, or maybe an engineer or an architect, where it's like you have to take this thing and then that's your job. If you're like, oh, I'm going to get a business degree. I'm going to get general studies. I'm going to get a degree in English. Like if that's the thing, then I think college is more of just a vehicle to help you disengage from your parents, find out who your identity is. And in that sense, I think it's valuable, but I don't think you need to go spend $300,000 at a private college on the East Coast to find that out. You can find that out at, you know, your local community college.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. I was listening to a podcast that Mike Rowe was on the other day. Do you know who Mike Rowe is? Mm-hmm. Yeah. He is the guy that did all the dirty jobs.
Dirty jobs guy.
Yeah. And he said this, which I think is really interesting. He said, you know, for years, we have been told when it comes to blue collar jobs, that all your blue collar jobs, you better get out of being blue collar, because all the blue collar jobs are going to be replaced by technology and replaced by robots. And he said, what we're really finding is AI is now about to replace all the white collar jobs.
Right.
Which I think is really insightful on his part. And I've shared this before. I think the important thing for a young man or a young woman that is about to turn 18 is to just go off to college and start creating debt. And I remember when I was talking to counselors about going to school from USC to Notre Dame to the University of New Mexico. And they said, you know what you should do for the first year is just go in there and take some courses and see how it feels to you and see what you like. Because I wasn't sure exactly what I wanted to do. And for some of the things that I was thinking about doing, like radio, I didn't know the path. Like, I didn't know how to do it. You couldn't jump online at the time and teach yourself. So I think everything that you want to learn in college or at the university is right here. And I'm pointing toward my phone right now. It is all there. I am noticing with my son right now, I was listening to him play guitar last night and I walked in and I'm like, wow, this kid is really starting to rip. And I'm like, where did you learn that? And he showed me on his phone an app where he was wanting to learn a Metallica song, because that's what he's learning right now at School of Rock. And so, like, today he'll go and we'll sit down with Taylor, his teacher at the School of Rock, for a half hour. They'll go over some of the songs that they're learning. And at the end, on Saturday, he'll get together with his band and play. And then at the end of this semester, we'll all get together somewhere at a concert venue and they'll play. And I'm noticing the acceleration of it, because I started playing guitar about the same age. The acceleration in which he is able to learn the guitar is blowing me away because of the technology that's out there. He's still going to school, the School of Rock. That's not cheap to do that, but I believe it's an important investment, and I won't go into why right now because that's not the conversation. But the important thing that I told him is, hey, if we start this and we're going to do it for a semester, I don't want you to quit. We're investing in this. And then at the end of the semester, when you do your concert, let's sit down and talk again and see if this is something that you still want to continue to do. We did that last semester, right? And then at the end of last semester, we sat down. Is this something we want to do for another semester? Yeah, yes, we do. He was struggling with algebra. He just brought his grades home the other day. He has an A minus in algebra.
That's awesome.
And a lot of that's because of you, Ron. You introduced us to Charlie, who's a tutor. And Charlie, what my son is able to do is get online because of technology. He'll do that tonight. We'll go to School of Rock. We'll go work out. And then after that, at 7:15 tonight, he'll jump on with your friend Charlie, who you introduced us to, and they'll spend an hour going over algebra. So the schooling that you and I did, like back in the day when we were taking basic Fortran in eighth grade is very, very different than the opportunities that young people have today. And especially if you have a curious mind. I mean, think about you. Ron has this amazing, curious mind. You're teaching yourself Spanish right now, right?
I just met with my coach this morning.
Yeah. So you're meeting with a coach, but are you also using technology?
Yeah, I have like Duolingo on my phone, and it's yeah, I do use technology, but it comes down to still putting in the effort.
But you still have a coach, just like my son at the school rock still has a teacher, still goes to school. So I think with all the opportunities out there to learn, everybody learns differently. And for me, the driver for my son is to not be a straight A student like I was. I was a straight A student because I was scared to death, because it was the only way out of living with a very poor family, with a mother that did everything she could to take care of four kids, with a dad that was gone, trying to come up with 85 cents every day to figure out how the F am I going to pay for lunch, going to football practice afterwards, going to a cafeteria, bussing tables, just... A lot of us have done that, right? And there wasn't technology around me during that time for me to see any other way out, but then I have to go to college. What I learned when I go to college, and I did all this hard work and I got the scholarship, is when I got to college, it was very disappointing because I didn't learn anything in these classes. I found out that my honors classes in high school and the teachers that taught me to be a writer or understand math or to communicate, or to be a human, and some of my coaches, my high school education was actually better than anything that I was experienced at college. And then you and I were in a situation, I think, where we were both going to college, and all of a sudden, we had these dream jobs that were, I can't say they were offered to us. We sought these things out for years, but all of a sudden we got this radio job. And in the middle of that, and I shared this before, I went to one of my professors at the University of Washington where I was going at the time. And I just said, Cindy, this is the opportunity. And she said, you know what? Basically, you should drop out of college because this is your opportunity. And she said, as your instructor, if I had the opportunity to do what you do, and I've watched you in class and the way you communicate, we had to just create a commercial, which you actually helped me with. Do you remember the commercial that we created?
I don't remember, but I...
Yeah. So she said, the way that you communicate, I can't teach you. You already know. You have a job in market number 4 in San Francisco. This is... So I think everybody's path is different, but I think the important thing is just as it's too expensive anymore to say to a child, go to college for a year and kind of poke around and see what you like, because none of us can afford that. And to have academia shit all over plumbers, right? And electricians, people that build things with their hands, craftsmen and craftswomen, people that work in the service industry, entrepreneurs out there. I mean, show me Bill Gates and show me all his college degrees. And all his college degrees were given to him. He didn't earn them. They were given to him because he showed up and he spoke at a graduation, and he's never graduated. And I could sit here and I could name entrepreneur after entrepreneur after entrepreneur that does not have a college degree. So we need to stop making children feel shitty about themselves for not going to a 4-year school, because they learn differently. And I think for all of them, with all the technologies that's out there, the ability to go online and be curious and teach yourself, everything you need right now is right in front of you. Now, sometimes it's good to go away and just grow up, right? Sometimes we have to do that. And I think college can certainly be a part of that as well. But it's become a very expensive alternative. When you see boomers now that are paying for their kids to go to school, and now they, and I was reading an article last night, and we'll talk about this in another podcast, many of them in their 60s, they've had to go back to work in order to pay for the debt that their kid created or their kids created when they sent them off to school. We will see you on the other side of this. Hey, you guys, I got some exciting news. Now through March 2nd, they're having their Founders Day sale at Les Schwab. Who is Les Schwab? Well, you know, they sponsor this show. You know, they do a lot of great things in the community. In fact, this Thanksgiving, raise a lot of food. And during the holidays, yeah, raise a lot of toys. Thing I love about Les Schwab is he loves the community. He's been doing it. In fact, instilling their family values since 1952 in all our communities. 70 years earning your trust. Right now, the Founders Day sale. It's a thank you to all the customers out there. Get this, you can save up to $150. That's right, $150 when you buy a set of four select tires. And all you got to do when you go in is say that Ron and Don sent you. All right, for that location near you, all you need to do is go to LesSchwab.com. That's LesSchwab.com. Les Schwab, let's say it together. They've been doing the right thing since 1952. All right, so this is how real estate works. I'm at a Seahawks game, and I'm watching the Seahawks win the Super Bowl, and I'm in my friend George's seat, and I'm sitting next to my friend Mike Martin. Known Mike now over a decade. He calls me the other day, says, "Hey, I got a tech friend. He's in Hawaii, owned a property in Green Lake. He's going to fix it up. He went to Hawaii. He said, I'm never going home." So he's had this rental now for 10 years. His name is Jude. So Mike puts me in touch with Jude. Jude calls me and says, "Hey, I got to sell this house." I call Scotty. We go over the house, and this house has a foundation problem, has a roof problem, has lots of problems. And in order to fix this house and bring it to market, it's going to take about $100,000, and then the house is going to be worth about $925,000. Anyway, there's a builder that Jude knows that says, "Hey, well, I'll give you $835,000. And then there's a neighbor that says, "Hey, I'll give you $850,000. And then what I did is I got on the phone with one of my builder friends, because again, I don't like seeing homes torn down, but there's some that have to be torn down when they have bad foundations, right? And this is a home that has to come down. This builder said, "You know what? I'll pay $1,060,000 for that particular house." So, case closed. There are builders right now paying more for properties than people are willing to pay when they step in and say, "Wow, this thing has a bad foundation. This thing is still in oil. This has a bad roof. There's a lot of work to do here." So while many homes I like to see restored, some can't be, right? So when you need us, if you have a piece of property, if you have an old home, it has a bad leaky roof, lots of deferred maintenance, call us. Because sometimes the best thing to do is to fix it up and bring it to market if you have the funds to do so. And sometimes the best thing to do is to create a new property and reimagine it. Because guess what? Here in Seattle, yeah, there's not a lot of property just laying around. So when you need us, whether it's wholesale, retail, investing, buying, selling, let's sit down. RonandDonSitDown.com. All right, you guys, welcome back to the Ron and Don Show. Don't forget, if you need us, RonandDonSitDown.com. And we can sit down today and help you with your real estate journey. Thanks for, as I always say at the end of every broadcast, thanks for allowing us to be your friends, your broadcasters, and also your real estate agents. Let's talk about being optimistic. Can optimism actually help you live longer?
I mean, I think the more they study this, the basic answer is yes. And it depends on what flavor of optimism. Last week we talked about sort of a toxic optimism that can develop, where you believe that you can create things just by thought. And so that style of optimism, they've said, actually can end up coming back to bite you in the rear and turn out to be detrimental if you go too far down that path. But your general sort of what we think of as garden variety optimism, they've shown that it does help you over your lifetime to have a healthier life, to be more, I guess, integrated. I think the way that I read that article is that it helps you, if you're a basically optimistic person, you find that your human connections are easier. People want to be around you more. And the studies of people, of having a close-knit group and what that does to your psychology skyrockets. Like, I think both you and I have different friend groups in our lives, and there are some who's like, I feel better when I'm with person A than I do when I'm with person B. And so I want to spend more time with that person. I laugh more, whatever it is. And so that, I think, more so than like the artificial optimism.
Talk about this, because our friend Michael, when we were in Oakland, California, we worked on a Raiders station called the Ticket 1050. And it was a station that we talked about the Raiders all day. It was a sports talk station, kind of like KJR, but we were really wrapped around the Raiders. So that's how we ended up doing the John Gruden show, the Touchdown Tim Brown show. We travel with the team on game day. We did all types of things in the stadium, as sideline reporters, lots of stuff on game day. And so we would have people call in, and this is during the days of talk radio when you actually still took phone calls. And we had a guy call in, and his name was Nutsack from Oaktown. Anyway, his name is Michael. He's an architect. He's a very fascinating person. He was just here. And I know that Ron, you have a very deep connection with him. And I have to say, when I came over to your house and I was around you and Eric and Michael, when I left, I actually felt better for being there. And that was because of all the optimism that was in the room. And I think specifically because he's a realist, there's no doubt. And he's had some shiznit go down. But it was interesting when you guys were cooking, and even the way that he was talking about the food and the salmon he was making. And I don't necessarily like salmon, but he told me how he made this salmon and how terrific it is and where you go get the ingredients and how you do it. And it's so simple and it's so easy, Don, and you're going to love it. Your son's good. And even when he talks to you, he uses your first name when he talks to you, Don, right? And I think you like being around him because he's very optimistic, I think.
Yeah, optimistic and easy to laugh. Like, you find those people that have a similar sense of humor. So I think that type of stuff, that brand of optimism, if you will. I have one of my other very good friends, Charles, same way. Like, you know you're going to laugh. You know you're going to have a good time. You know you're going to be around good people with good food and good energy. And so that type of optimism, I think, has proven to be good for your health and your mental well-being and also your physical well-being.
Michael's had cancer, right? And he fought through cancer. And it's like, sometimes people don't have the fight in them. And he's gone through some other things in his life. And the same kind of things that we all go through. But he continues to bring life and love and curiosity to the people that are around him. So
yeah, and so I think the real question is, to me on this, is what do you do if you recognize in yourself that you're not that way? And so how do you put the brakes on a negative spiral? I dated a woman for a while, and everything was great except for she just had a negativity about her, and there was not an optimism, and she would loop on the bad things that happened that day and the person that was annoying her at work. And it was every day you're like, okay, here it comes. We're going to have this conversation about the things that bothered you, the people that you're annoyed by. And I finally was just like, hey, I really like you, but I can't do that every day.
Did you challenge her though at some point?
I did. Yeah. I did. And so,
did she recognize it and agree? Or
she did recognize it and just wasn't able to get out of it. So I think and that's just for me. Maybe there's someone, I hope that she finds someone in her life where that's their thing. Maybe they get together and just have that. They love to rehash that every day, but I couldn't do it. Yeah. And so, and I think if you are stuck in that, it's difficult to get out of for a lot of people, I think.
Yeah. The interesting thing to me was when we were at your gathering and Ron had us over for the Super Bowl, everything was, I think what was really, when you sit in a room and everybody in that room starts chirping on somebody else and starts picking on somebody else. And this happens a lot of times in families and family gatherings. And then we get away from it and we're like, oh, you get on a plane. You're like, I'm so glad. And you can't always put your finger on it. The thing is, when with those type of people, where it gets toxic like that, and even if you're in that room and you're and you start to participate in that, it'll feel toxic to you. And guess what? When you aren't in that room, guess who they're talking about? We will see you on the other side of this.
Hey, it's Ronnie Don here with Mitch Weeks. You know him as Mitch.Loans. And Mitch, a lot of people find themselves in this scenario. Maybe they're downsizing and they're like, where am I going to live when I sell this house? Because I don't have my other house yet. And it freaks them out. And sometimes they tap the brakes. Is there anything we can do in a loan way to help someone in that scenario?
Absolutely. We have a great new program. It's called Buy Before You Sell, and it's structured to help exactly those type of people. What you can do is you tap into the equity in your home in advance. So let's say you've been living in a house for a while, you've already paid it down, and about half of it's equity. You can get up to 80% of the value of your house in that equity. You get that in, and that's the down payment on your next home. Hmm. Not only that, but in this program, you're not hit for your debt on your old house or that loan, because it's a 0% interest loan. And because of that, you can buy your next house before you have to sell your current house. It means you don't have to move twice, and it just adds a lot less stress.
Yeah, absolutely adds a lot less stress. So if that's a scenario for you, or you've been having a stumbling block, if I don't know where I'm going to live first before I sell this house, give Mitch a call, or you can contact us. It's Mitch.Loans or RonnieDonSitDown.com. Again, Mitch.Loans.
All right, you guys, welcome back to the Ron and Don Show. One thing in helping some of our buyers create Airbnbs is it also creates a lot of people that are going to come, they're going to stay at your place, and they're just going to roll through a lot of your supplies. The money I spent on toilet paper last year and laundry detergent, it is unbelievable. Unbelievable. And when it comes to laundry detergent, I was so glad to read this article not too long ago, because between myself and my son, we work out just about every day. So that's some clothes. And then I sleep in clothes at night. I don't like to wear the same clothes night after night. So that's some clothes, right? And then on top of that, through the course of the day, I might change, like today, I've already changed my clothes twice. I'm going to change them again before I go to the gym. I'm going to change it. So I probably changed my clothes. Dude, I probably changed my clothes four times.
You change more than the average person.
Yeah, I probably changed it. In fact, I had a shirt on.
Can I ask you a personal question?
You and I were in, we were in a meeting earlier online, and I pitted that whole thing out. So that shirt goes in the laundry, and now I'm on to another shirt. So we're talking about this because a lot of us have been using way too much laundry detergent.
Before I jump into the story, have you changed? There was an era, because I don't drive in your car all that much. There was an era where your car was a laundry bin, basically.
Yeah.
And it would, you'd get in and be like, whoa, someone just went to the gym 6 days in a row and put the laundry in the back seat. Have you switched up that routine?
Yeah, I don't do that anymore. But I have to say, if I leave my car, as soon as I clean it, someone breaks into it. People break into clean cars. They don't break into dirty cars. So I leave some things in there kind of stirring around. And you can even ask my son, like when we get, like we have some of Charlie's stuff in there. And before we get out of the truck at night, we'll just kind of throw it around on the seats and then I'll lock the door. Nobody breaks into that truck.
Interesting.
And I can guarantee you that people come by with a flashlight, because they do in every single neighborhood. And there are ways to, and I won't go into it, there's ways to break into all kinds of cars right now, and you don't have to break the glass, and you don't have to use a screwdriver. It's a very simple thing to do. If you still use your, do you lock your car with your key fob?
You shouldn't ever, locked.
Should never, never.
I never. Lock it on the door.
Yeah, especially when you go to a store. I could sit in the parking lot and And I won't say how you do it, but I could get your key code and break into your car as soon as you walk in the store. So there's all kinds of ways to do that. And my car easily, and this is living on Queen Anne Mountain in Seattle, my car easily has been broken into 25 times.
So this, I'm glad that it's not a laundry bin anymore, because this article that you sent me is actually going to change the way I do laundry. And so they did an interview with a guy that somehow has become the world's leading expert on laundry. So he talked about two things. Number one is, he said, with the modern, he says, what happened was laundry machines themselves have evolved tremendously, and they wanted to keep all the settings that people were used to. And so when you looked at the dashboard of your laundry machine, people got used to a certain feature set. And what the laundry companies or the machines manufacturers decided is, like, we're just going to leave these things. Like, it's already built. It's baked into the cake. So let's just leave it. And what I mean by that is, like, you'll have bulky sheets and, permanent press and all of these different settings, then hot, cold, warm, like all the stuff. And it got to the point where the consumers were like, well, the more settings there are, must mean that it's a better machine.
And I'll pay more money.
Yeah, so I'm going to pay money, because look at this machine has 9 settings. This machine has 25 settings. So 25 has to be better, even though the efficiency of the machines and the technology had improved greatly. And so, and then he talked about part of that is that if you use, and I could not believe this number, he said 2 tablespoons of liquid detergent into your batch of clothes is enough. He said, if you go beyond that, what happens, and this made a lot of sense to me, what happens is you will create too many suds, and the dirt and the soiledness of your clothings, if you have too much detergent in there, gets suspended in that emulsion of bubbles.
Yeah.
And then when you go to the rinse cycle, there are too many bubbles to rinse cleanly, and then it settles back onto the clothes. So he's like, you're actually keeping your clothes more dirty if you use more than 2 tablespoons. I bet I use forever. I bet I've used at least 3 times that amount, maybe 4 or 5 times.
Well, I have to tell you, with my gym clothes, or I like to do physical labor at least once a week. And so my Carhartts and all that, they get very soiled. And so I've been putting, at times, 3 pods in there. At first, I put 1 pod in there, and then I'd add 2, and then I'm like, well, I'm going to add gym clothes, probably use 3.
So you're saying the level of soiledness of your clothes,
I would add more detergent.
More pods.
Yeah, and what I found is, especially with my gym clothes, I'd put 3 pods in with my gym clothes. I'd pull my gym clothes out, and they still stink, and I'm like, 4 pods. They're going in with 4 pods. I got to put 4. So I would sit there and use so many. And then I'm like, I can't use pods anymore. So
well,
then
he even
I just,
said in the article, do not use pods.
He said, don't, because he said 1 pod is too much detergent.
Right.
Yeah. And so I tried this since I read this over the last couple days, and even all the laundry that I just did, and I'm constantly doing laundry. I put a very minimal amount of detergent.
Could you bring it to 2 tablespoons, or does that seem like not enough?
Wait.
2 tablespoons is like nothing.
No, I did that.
And what was the result?
Amazing.
See, I haven't tried it yet because we read this.
Especially with my gym clothes and my son's gym, and you smell them in my, like, they, and even if they sit in a gym bag for a day or what, and I don't do that anymore. Like, I'm constantly doing laundry, especially with him. It is, he's right. It's true. And he also said all the dryer sheets that we use, we shouldn't be using all these dryer sheets.
Well, the other big one is, like he said, only use the one setting you need for everything you do is
quick wash. Yeah.
And that one's hard for me to believe.
I did that last night with my gym clothes, and a little bit of detergent, 15 minutes. Beautiful.
Really?
Yeah.
What about sheets?
And my clothes smell great.
Are you going to do sheets and all that stuff at quick wash?
I used 3 dryer sheets, and so...
No, not the dryer sheets, your bedding. Are you going to do quick wash on 2 tablespoons on the bedding?
Everything, yeah.
Wow.
I don't.
This is revolutionary. Like, my jug, because I'm a single guy, that one jug of liquid detergent will last me like a year and a half.
That's what he was saying.
It's crazy, because
I will have people come stay at an Airbnb, and I have these giant jugs. They will use they will use a giant jug when they stay for a week.
Because what I do is I pull out the little drawer. I have the washing machine that has the drawer, the detergent drawer at the front.
I think everybody has.
And that. I do the if you have a top loader, you just put it in the top. I have a front loader.
I don't think people have top loaders anymore.
We have a top loader at our building.
Of course you do. How old's your building?
It's a brand new washer.
Oh, and how's your building?
The building's old. The washing machine's brand new. But what I'll do is I'll hold the button down on the deal for like a four count. I'll go one, that's one, that's two, that's three, that's four. And that's like way too much detergent. This is going to it's gonna save me not that much money, but mentally it's going to be interesting.
Two dudes talking laundry detergent.
It's exciting. Like you said, one jug of laundry detergent is like $25 now. So it's crazy.
Money, and the pod thing, you could literally open just one of those pods and squirt a little in and you should be good. So, hey, you guys, thanks for listening to this episode of Charlie. Come on, man. Come on. You're 5 years old. Don't be licking that in front of me. Go in Gunner's room. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Ron and Don Show. Don't forget, if you need us as your realtors, we are here. And as we told you last week, we just sold a home in 42 hours. That is unbelievable. We're doing sit downs right now all over the great Pacific Northwest. We sell the sound. And in fact, we can even do some of the sit-downs in the evening. We did one last night at 6 o'clock, didn't we?
Yeah, absolutely. So a new buyer, and it was a referral. So thanks to Chris for referring your friends and trusting us to take care of your friends. We're going to do a good job, buddy.
Yeah, very, very cool. So, and it's a young couple that is getting married, and they're just starting out on their real estate journey. And we love that, because when you start that young, oh, man. That's how you can really snowball wealth, because you build wealth slowly with real estate over time. But when it snowballs, it's really amazing. And then I wish they taught that in college. Anyways, yeah. Thanks for listening to the Ron and Don Show. We really appreciate you guys. As always, thanks for letting us be your friends and also your broadcasters and also your real estate agents. RonDonSitDown.com when you need us. Thanks for hitting subscribe or favorite. That means a lot. And don't forget, we do 4 episodes every week. They drop every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And then we do a bonus episode every Friday where we just talk about real estate. So if you're new to real estate and you're thinking about investing or buying and selling, make sure you listen to the Friday show. And thanks for sharing that with a friend, because that's where we do a deeper dive on things that we've learned, that we're learning, that we would like to share with you. Find us on our social media channels. He's Ron Upshaw. I'm Don O'Neill. And don't forget, we sell the sound with the largest social media following of any realtor in Western Washington. Yeah, why wouldn't you choose these guys right here when it comes to buying, selling, or investing in real estate? Until next time, you keep your head up and your shoulders back. You've been listening to Ron and Don Show. Only on the Ron and Don Radio Network.
Now keep your head up and your shoulders back and keep blowing that trumpet, and we'll see you next time.
Only.
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 On the Ron and Don Radio Network.